Lonnie just gave me the remote, and I'm not going to be advancing a lot of slides this morning, I don't believe. I'm not sure. I didn't look at the PowerPoint real clearly the other night, and Shannon showed it to me. But we'll give it a shot. Let's see what we do. Yeah, we're in good shape. Okay, that's good. Michael, my son, isn't here this morning. Our son-in-law isn't here this morning, so I feel free to talk about him a little bit. I just want to tell a story about Michael. It was shortly after Mike and Shannon had gotten married. They were still in school at Lincoln. And Linda and I went down to their apartment there on campus one Sunday morning. Mike was going to preach at a nursing home, I believe, that morning. And I remember Linda was sleeping, I think, on the couch. I was on the bed or in the chair because the apartment was pretty small. And I remember hearing Mike get up pretty early. It was still dark. And I heard him leave. And I thought to myself, maybe he's going to get some donuts. You know, that's what I'm thinking about on a Sunday morning. And he was gone for quite some time. And then he came home. And he didn't have donuts, which was somewhat disappointing. And a little later on, I asked him, I said, where'd you head out to? Where did you go? And he said to me that there was a paraplegic gentleman in Lincoln that he had helped come in every day, but on Sundays they came in late, and he really wanted to go to church. So Mike would go over on Sunday mornings and dress him, make sure he was fed, and took him to church. And I thought to myself, because I didn't know Mike real well, even though he had married my daughter. You know, he came from Florida, then Cincinnati, and I met him at a camp, and you know, but I saw Christ in him. I saw Jesus Christ in his life. And that story kind of fits into the sermon this morning. I think about how do we show thanks to God. And I think it's through a lot of times through our service to him, for him. There's a story about, it was right after World War II. And one of the worst things to look at and to see after World War II and the devastation of the war-torn cities were the little kids running around, the orphan kids who lost their families and they lost their homes and they had no place to go. And one morning, early morning, there was a young soldier, the story said, that he was driving in his Jeep going back to the barracks, and he saw this little boy looking in a bakery shop window, his nose pressed up to the bakery shop. And the soldier pulled his Jeep up to the curb, went up to the little boy and said, "Would you like some of those donuts?" And the little boy said, "Oh, yes, I would." So the soldier went in, bought a dozen donuts, came back out, gave them to the little boy, and he turned around and walked away. And as he was walking away, he felt this tug on the back of his coat. And the soldier turned around and looked, and he said, "Hey, mister, are you God?" You see, we're never more like Jesus than when we serve him and serve others. We're never giving more thanks to him than when we serve other people. This coming Thursday will be about 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving. And when I talked to Mike about this service this morning, he said that a Thanksgiving service would be okay. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. In a couple of weeks from this coming Thursday's Thanksgiving Day, 2014. And as I was putting together this sermon, it's hard to believe that another Thanksgiving is here. When I was just a kid, my mom would always say, you know, the older you get, the faster time goes. And my goodness, here we are, 2014, another Thanksgiving. I've told my church at home many times that the Thanksgiving holiday is my favorite holiday of all times. And I think one of the primary reasons that it's my favorite holiday is because it seems like it's a day where our great land, this country of America, this great land that we live in, stops just for a moment. And we highlight our home and we highlight our family. And I know at our home we reflect on the past Thanksgivings and all of the fun that we've had on those days. And as Christians, I believe it's an annual reminder that our God continues to offer hope to each one of us. Even on those days when it seems like it's hopeless, the hope is there. It's another reminder that our God has once again been ever so faithful to his word. And it's on this day that we stop just for a moment and we thank our gracious God for all of our blessings, all of the things that he has done for us. And it's my prayer this morning that this coming Thanksgiving holiday will bring glory to God in every household in America. And I would ask, as we add to the prayer list this morning, that from this day up until Thanksgiving, that we pray that that will happen, that that miracle will happen in America, every household, to give glory to Almighty God this coming Thanksgiving. I've entitled my sermon this morning, Give Thanks in All Circumstances. And our scripture text will come, first of all, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And we're also going to go to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. First, from 1 Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul writes these words, Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And now, 10 years later, we find the Apostle Paul penning another letter to the church in Philippi. The Apostle Paul's under house arrest. He's in chains. The letter was primarily written to encourage the Christians who were being persecuted at Philippi to live joyfully in every circumstance. Listen to what Paul writes as he's in chains. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. So whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Paul said, always give thanks, not just sometimes, but always give thanks. Always be joyful. Always pray. Pray continually, he said. Always love one another. Always be pure. Be filled with the Spirit and allow him to work within you and outside of you as you go out into the world. Throughout the entire New Testament, we can find where the Apostle Paul instructs the believers in the early church to give thanks no matter what circumstances they may be in. And I believe that this challenge to the early church is also a challenge to us today, 2,000 years later. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5 to always give thanks to God for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know many times we just think of gratitude as maybe being an idea of some sort or something that we can hold on to in our hearts, or maybe it's just a feeling when we have gratitude. And in a sense, that's all true. You see, if someone does something kind for us, we do feel a sense of gratitude. We are thankful that they've done that for us. But I also believe within Paul's instructions to us, to the church, that there's much more than just feeling grateful, than just having that feeling. I believe the Apostle Paul, when writing his letter to the church, truly wants each one of us not only to feel grateful, because he does, but he also wants us to express that gratefulness in the things that we do through our actions. He wants us to give thanks to him through his Son, Jesus Christ, because of what he's done for us, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. There was this imaginative story told about a day when the sun did not rise in the morning. 6 a.m. came and there was no sign at all of the sun. 7 a.m. came, no sign at all. At noon, it was as dark as midnight. No birds were singing. They said in the story that there was an old hoot owl in the far off breaking the silence of the darkness. But then came the black hours of the afternoon. People didn't know what to do. Some went to work. Most did not. On television, scientists were trying to explain all of this off. News media was trying to comfort people. And finally, after the long, dark day, evening came, but no one really was able to sleep that night. Some wept. Some were wondering, what in the world is going on? Some wrung their hands in anguish. Every church in all of the world was filled with people on their knees. And there they stayed the whole night through, praying and asking God to help them get through this. And after that long night of terror and agony and loss of hope, millions of eager, tear-streaked faces were turned toward the east. And then it happened. The sky began to grow red. And the beauty of his creation could be seen clearly. And the sun rose in all of its brightness and in all of its glory. And it was a new dawn. And it was a new day. Prayers had been answered, and almost immediately there was a loud shout of joy, for millions upon millions began praising God and giving thanks to him because the sun had risen this day. You see, sometimes the constancy of God's blessing in our life seems to dull our gratitude to him and for him. But if we'd only realize that each day that the mercies are of our gracious God is that they are fresh every morning and they are new every evening with a sunrise and a sunset. And I truly believe that the Apostle Paul is reminding us in his letters to constantly and to always be thankful to our gracious God by the things that we do, and the things that we say, and how we say them, and who we say them about. Kind of like the soldier who offered a dozen donuts to a little boy. saw God in donuts. I believe there's no limit to the things that we can thank our God for each and every day if we would only do it. We can thank him for our spiritual blessings. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus these words of truth. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who is the Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Those spiritual blessings that God has given us, blessings that include our hope of heaven, things we can hold on to, as I said at the beginning, even on those hopeless days. We have salvation, and he's offered that to us through his Son at Calvary, and oh my goodness, we forget about that so often in our lives. You see, it is undeserved grace that we've been given. It is undeserved mercy that we've been given. It's undeserved sacrifice and love, but yet we have it anyway. And we should offer thanksgiving every day because of that. All of these spiritual blessings that we have for some reason taken for granted, kind of like the sunrise each morning that we just expect it's going to happen. As Christians, we should be showing our thankfulness for all of these things each and every day of our lives. I know for me, I blow it quite a bit. I miss the blessings quite a bit. I miss the mark quite a bit in my life. Another spiritual blessing that we all take for granted is the opportunity that we have each week to worship freely here at a church. Many nations, many countries do not have this privilege. It's something Americans take for granted. I heard a fellow on the radio who had went to Russia. It was a long time ago after the wall had come tumbling down. He went over to Russia for business, and he wanted to go to church on Sunday morning. It opened the churches up after the wall came tumbling down. He knew what time the service was. He just didn't know where the building was, so he called the cab about an hour before the service. And by gosh, he was just around the corner, 5 minutes away. So he arrived at the service an hour before the church started. When he arrived, the building was full of people, totally full an hour before service. By the time the service started, they had opened the doors and the windows of the church, and people were surrounding the church building, praising God. He said he didn't understand one word that was spoken that day, but he had never worshiped like that before in his life. You see, coming to church is an opportunity to meet with the fellowship of believers, to meet with the body of Christ, to be a part of that body, to show our thanksgiving to him. Praise and worship and prayer. We've done all of these things this morning. Most of all, we met around his table of remembrance. We have the opportunity to show our thanks to God each day for our physical blessings. We're reminded in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, that it is God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. He doesn't provide just some things for our enjoyment. Paul said that he provides everything for our enjoyment, everything that has the opportunity of bringing glory unto God. Among some of God's many rich provisions that we again so often take for granted are our lives themselves, our families, those whom we love, those who love us, our health, our protection, and those material possessions. We take all of that for granted in this great land that we live in. God has blessed us with. I believe that our life here in America is a gift from God. for some reason, we have been given the privilege to be born here and to live here, this great land. The Bible teaches that we can give thanks to God even for those trials that we face so often in our life. You see, sometimes life just doesn't go the way we planned them to go. Sometimes life just doesn't go the way that we hoped that it would go. Sometimes the circumstances we find ourselves in is beyond difficult. And at times, they feel overwhelming to us. I know when I was diagnosed 12 years ago with cancer, it's like, oh my goodness, overwhelming. But you go through it. At times, these circumstances feel unbearable, and we say to ourselves, we can't get through this alone, and we can't. I'm telling you. How in the world can we give thanks to God in these trying times? Is it even possible to give thanks? Back in World War II, Nazi Germany, concentration camp. In one of the camps, just before you go into the gas chamber, they found these words scratched on the walls. And it was in the camp where the young girls, or the gas chambers where the young girls were to walk through. And they would never walk out on the other side. And this young girl, whoever she was, she said, I believe in the sun, even when it doesn't shine. I believe in love, even when I don't feel it. And I believe in God, even when he's silent. James, a brother of Jesus, writes this truth about our trials. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Paul put it this way, for the sake of Jesus Christ, I delight in weaknesses. For the sake of Jesus Christ, I delight in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For you see, Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. See, when we are weak, when we're at that point where we don't know what to do, it's then we are totally dependent on our Father in heaven, the one who loves us. In our Philippians passage this morning that I had read earlier, we find the Apostle Paul under house arrest in Rome. He referred to himself being in chains. In fact, in the book of Acts, we can read that he was there for a full 2 years under this house arrest, under Roman guard. Being under arrest, he was unable to leave his house. But he was able to welcome and talk to anyone who came in to see him. And I believe that was because he was a Roman citizen, and they gave him that privilege. People could come in and out, and he could talk to them. In fact, Dr. Luke wrote in Acts, Paul boldly and without hindrance preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ even while he was in chains. Now, I say all of that this morning because I really want you to see one important thing about this man named Paul. You see, he practiced what he preached. He practiced what he preached, even from prison, even in the worst of circumstances. He practiced what he preached. 10 years earlier, he had instructed the church to give thanks in all circumstances. And 10 years later, here he is in Rome, in chains, in prison, His circumstance is not good. Christians were being persecuted everywhere. Christians were being killed and slaughtered by Nero everywhere. He could have been killed any day under house arrest, and he knew it. But listen to excerpts from his letter to the church in Philippi. He writes, "My brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually served the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Jesus Christ. And because of my chains, most of my brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak for Christ. The word of God has been spoken more courageously and fearlessly because of this, and I rejoice. I am in chains for Christ. I am preaching Christ, and I rejoice." And then he closes this letter out with these words: "Greet everybody. Greet all of the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings as well. All of the saints here send your greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household." Did you hear that? He's in chains, being guarded. And Caesar's household came and he shared the gospel with them. They are now Christians. They are now followers of Jesus Christ. They heard the gospel, and they now believe and follow him. I ask this week and next week, as Thanksgiving approaches us, that this Thanksgiving will be one of opportunity for each one of us to share the gospel with the lost. If you have a family member that doesn't know Jesus, or if you have a friend that doesn't know Jesus, show your thanks to Almighty God by serving him and sharing the gospel with them. We're talking about eternity here. We're talking about the end. If there's anyone here this morning who does not know Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of the living God, I would ask that maybe this is the day that you make that decision. Maybe you need to repent of your sins. Maybe you just need prayer. I would ask this is the day that you come. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all of our blessings. I am sorry, Father, when it seems so many times that we take them for granted. I thank you, Father, for loving us and watching over us, even in the hard times. God, please allow us to share the good news as Paul shared. He shared to those that could kill him, and they believed. Be with us now, Father, as we leave this place. Keep us strong. Pray this in Christ's name. Please stand as we sing, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus."